We're going to talk about fasting these next couple of Sundays. And I'm bringing this to you, Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough, by Brother Philip Harrison. And I want to bring this to the church. We need a breakthrough in our lives and in this church. Amen? Fasting is not to get twist God's arm to get things done. Fasting is to bring you closer to God. Realization that I need God. And I don't think there's probably anybody here today that couldn't get closer to God. Amen? We all need to get closer to God. And that's what we want to talk about today. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Then we're going to read Isaiah 58. But I believe God wants to do some great things in our lives. He wants to do some great things in this church. Amen. That's why we want to start off drawing closer to God in this year and see God do great and mighty things. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Isaiah 58, we'll read verse 6 through 8. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are the cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, thou cover him, and when thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask God that you speak to us right now, we pray in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Fasting for spiritual breakthrough. Richard Foster said, more than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. This is a wonderful benefit to the true disciple who longs to be transformed by the image of Jesus Christ. We cover up what is inside of us with food and other things. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, fasting, if we conceive of it truly, must not be confined to the question of food and drink. Fasting should really be made to include abstinence from anything which is legitimate in and of itself for the sake of some special spiritual purpose. There are many bodily functions that are right and normal and perfectly legitimate, but which for special peculiar reasons in certain circumstances should be controlled, and that is fasting. Cornelius Plantinga said, self-indulgence is the enemy of gratitude, and self-discipline usually its friend and generator. That is why gluttony is a deadly sin. The early desert fathers believed that a person's appetites are linked. Full stomachs and jaded palates take the edge off our hunger and thirst for righteousness. They spoil our appetite for God. Can I please get some monitor? R.C. Sproul said, there are no quick and easy paths for spiritual maturity. The soul that seeks a deeper level of maturity must be prepared for a long, arduous task. If we seek the kingdom of God, we must abandon any formula that promises instant spiritual gratification. When we look back in our lives and can be filled with benefits, if the contemplation is turned Godward. You see, God allows us to go through certain trials that greatly benefit us and drastically improve our own spirit. This improvement occurs when we discover the things that God strips away from us, and at the same time, He is adding things to our life. Much of our spiritual growth occurs under great duress and pressure. It is in those moments that great disappointment, temptation, and even sometimes when doubt assaults, that something within our spirit presses onward. We can't afford, folks, to waste our trials and our afflictions on, as the Bible indicates in Genesis 41-52, and at the same at name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. This is the pattern that exists scattered throughout the book of Acts, and it carries over even into our present day. You see, a hunger for God is the single most important thing that we can have. Amen? A hunger for God dictates the depth of our relationship with Him. The more hunger that is manifested for Him, the greater the discipleship and spiritual growth. The less hunger we have for God will mark our lives, and we become caught up with the lesser gods of this life. You see, we must thank God for the desire that He places in our heart for Him. Many of us have the same desire to live for God. But folks, we cannot afford for our lives to be filled to the brim with things. Amen? You see, through fasting, we allow the things of this world to be replaced by the treasures of the kingdom of God. The more deeply you walk with Jesus Christ, the hungrier you'll get for Him. Amen? The more homesick you get for heaven, the more you want all the fullness of God. The more you want to be done with sin, the more you want the bridegroom to come again. Hallelujah. The more you want the church revived and purified with the beauty of Jesus, the more you want a great awakening to God's reality in our cities. Amen. The more you want to see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, penetrate the darkness of all the sin, unreached people in the world, the more you want to see false world views yielded to forces of truth, the more you want to see pain revealed and tears wiped away and death destroyed, the more you long for every wrong to be made right, and the justice and the grace of God to be filled in the earth like the waters that cover the sea. If you don't, folks, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. You see, your soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for great. God did not create you or I for this. There is an appetite for God, and it can be awakened in you. See, God, I'm going to fast, and I want you. There is an appetite in all of us for God and the things of God. But you have to awaken it. Amen. And that is why we fast. And that is why we pray. Many people don't fast. Richard Foster has written several books on the spiritual disciplines. And while his thoughts do not focus entirely on fasting, he does cover the subject. And over the course of the last 30 years, he has awakened a desire for people to fast. And he has stated publicly that there has not been a major book written on fasting in the last 100 years. And he then submitted for what he thought was the reason, that reason was. You see, he says the American church has fallen into the trap of feel-good religion. And we do not want to be bothered with the high demand of cross-bearing and the imposition of greater commitment. Self-denial and hunger has been replaced with a reliance on programs, activism, and other splashy and far inferior substitutes. On the other hand, he submitted that another reason that we do not fast is because of the abuse of earlier generations. Frankly, The vast majority of those in the church who do not fast have never been exposed to the absolute blessings and the benefits that come from this practice. Fasting will also literally force us to become aware of our own inadequacies and frailties. Yet in this very action, we more fully see the grace and power of God to accomplish His task in the world. Folks, there's another great challenge to fasting, and it is because that we have rarely seen it modeled by those around us. Many have shied away from sermons or Bible studies that have devoted the hard subject and exhortation to fasting. But if we're really honest today, we need to admit, and we must admit, that we rarely hear about fasting, whether in a corporate worship or in casual conversation with other believers. Most do not fast because there is little understanding and lack of modern awareness about it. Amen? There are also some inherent spiritual dangers associated with fasting. The number one danger is that there are some who would use fasting as an attempt to get God to simply do what they want. We must always remember that God is totally sovereign in His actions. The reason that we fast is to move us in a greater position with God. The second danger with fasting is not so much spiritual as it is physical. And I believe in the power of God to heal. But at the same time, folks, God has given wisdom to doctors to facilitate healing and health, good health. And if not recommended, any person who has severe heart disease and extreme blood pressure problems, is a diabetic, exempt mother, or expectant mothers, and other major health difficulties to become involved in long periods of fasting. And I realize that with saying it, I can be criticized here today. But folks, the spirit of fasting can be taken up in other areas of life for those who fall into these categories. So we have to be wise when we are fasting. Amen? Why do we fast? The question arises. So why fast? There's many reasons. One is because of the perilous times that surround the church and our society. And it is getting worse by the day, folks. Increasingly, the church is finding herself at odds with the political systems of today. In Esther 4:16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink three days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther was facing some critical times. They were looking at killing all the Jews. Amen. It was against the political system of the day. But she called a fast and began to seek the face of God, because the church needs a divine empowerment as it has never needed before. Amen. We need a move of God. Great revival, folks, requires great anointing. In Acts 13, verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Acts 14, 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Because of our own personal needs, particularly in a devotion to God and overcoming disobedience and carnality, we need to fast. Amen? In 2 Samuel 12, 16, and David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. See, because the world in general and the church in particular are crying out for people of character, people of integrity, and such traits can be fostered, folks, with fasting as its assets assist us in overcoming the pull of the world, the pull of carnality into our lives. And because we have allowed the American dream to overwhelm our spiritual lives, since Isaiah 58:6, is it not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? That American dream sometimes can overwhelm our spiritual lives. It can bring distractions in the pursuit of many things instead of the one thing. 2 Corinthians 8:2-4, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You see, fasting is not specifically mentioned in this verse, but there is a crucial reference to giving sacrificially of all that we have. Amen. Because we need the will of God manifest in our lives, that's why we fast. Much of the decisions that we make with our lives have been affected by self-help principles. And they've been affected by talk show hosts who are biblically illiterate and yet serve as great advisors to an often unsuspecting world. Folks, we must operate according to the principles established in the Word of God for His will in our lives. Amen. We need these principles applied in our lives, and we need to live according to those principles. Isaiah 58:8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. It's talking about the light to break forth through us. Amen. Because of our physical bodies could benefit from the poor nutritional habits. We have an abundance of food. We have abundance of medical care, but we are not necessarily more healthy today. Right? In Daniel 5:16, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah the Shadrach, and unto Mikael Manasseh, Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear, my lord, the king who hath appointed you meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worsened like than the children which are of your sort? Then shall he make me and endangered my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Mazar, whom the princes of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh, and all the children did eat the portion of the king's meat. And Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them Paul's. You see, fasting helps us fight two wars. It helps the saints to overcome the world within and without. And then one with it is the battle of self, and the battle without is the one with Satan. Folks, God will bless us and take care of us and help us if we are drawing closer to Him and seeking His face. Amen? God wants to do these things in our lives, but amen, we have to draw closer to Him. We have to awaken that desire in us to say, God, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to live the way you want me to live. Amen? God, I get so caught up in the things of this world. Help me to focus on living for you. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When we fast, we are not doing so as other religions of the world fast. You see, the difference is that much of their fasting, when you look at the Muslim and the Hindus and all these others, is focused inwardly on self, while the fasting of the saints of God is directed entirely toward God. Jesus Christ also fasted. Now, it is very striking that the ministry of Jesus Christ began with a time of fasting. And if this example is to be understood in its fullness, then it must be replicated also in our lives. If the Son of God submitted to the process of fasting, and then he confronted the devil after this fasting, we certainly could understand that this is a key factor in him overcoming. It can be a key factor in us being overcomers. The Bible indicates to us in Matthew 4 that Jesus was driven into the wilderness. Why? For a time of fasting. It was while he was in the wilderness being tested that he participated in a 40-day fast. And upon the approach of the devil in the wilderness, the Lord reached back into the Old Testament to confront the devil with the temptations. He responded with Deuteronomy 8, 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Deuteronomy 6, verse 16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Deuteronomy 6, 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and so swear by his name. You see, there is a significant comparison that bears following through with the Lord's temptation in the wilderness. And you might note that the scripture that the Lord quoted were also retrieved from that time the children of Israel were in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 through 3, and thou shalt remember all thy way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to humble thee and to prove thee, as Jesus was tempted, attested, and also proved. To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, as Jesus was made hungry by his own fasting. And fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, that the Lord doth man live, just as Jesus said to Satan. Now, there are many similarities that come from this passage in both areas of the wilderness. There are types and there are shadows. A type and shadow is where an Old Testament form or example is used to foreshadow or to predict a New Testament concept. And the temptation of the Lord was not just some happenchance battle with the devil. It is a calculated decision and showed with identification of Jesus Christ with the people of God in their wilderness and in their deprivation and their trial. Fasting will ultimately, folks, test where your heart is. When the fasting reveals that the heart is with God and not with the lesser things of this world, it prepares us for ministry. It's not only talking about pulpit ministry, but serving in all forms of ministry in the body of Christ. You see, Satan comes to an understanding that the love of the heart is not for earthly bread, but is for heavenly purpose. Satan understands that when we fast and draw ourselves closer to God, he sees your heart is hungering for the things of God. The hard lesson in this is that we must hunger for the will of God more than we hunger for the wonders of God. Amen? For the will of God. You want the will of God in your life, or you just want to see great wonders? Those wonders will come when you are in the will of God. Amen? Now, we understand the importance of fasting in that it allows us to draw closer to God. We live in a world that is much opposed to self-denial and have fully embraced the dilemma of self-indulgence. If you want it, go after it. Have it your way. They don't like to be afflicted with things. The world doesn't. But folks, spiritual formation, spiritual transformation is further strengthened when we involve ourselves in the practice of fasting and drawing closer to God. Fasting accomplishes the following things. Excuse me. Fasting will strengthen prayer. Amen? Ezra 8:23, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Nehemiah 1:4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Daniel 9:3, and he said, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Joel 2, verse 12, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Acts 13:3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Fasting will also, it assists us in seeking the guidance of God. Amen? In Judges 20, verse 26 to 28, then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thy hand. Acts 14:23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, they had prayed with fasting and commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. It assists them. It'll help you in the things that God wants you to do. Amen. It also sometimes can be an expression of grief. In 1 Samuel 31, verse 13, and they took their bones and they buried them under the tree of Jabesh and fasted 7 days. In 2 Samuel 1, 11 through 12, and David took hold of his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him, and they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by sword. It helps also to gain deliverance or protection. In 2 Chronicles 20, 3 through 4, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask of the Lord, the help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Ezra 8, 21 through 23, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God and seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our sustenance. For I was ashamed to require of the king's band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good to seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Esther 4:16, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nights, or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, which is not accepted, not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Somebody might also fast to express repentance and return to God and his ways. In Joel 2, verse 12, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. In Jonah chapter 3, 5 through 8, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his robe, noble saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth by crying mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Fasting is also used to humble ourselves before God. In 1 Kings 21, 27 to 29, it came to pass when Ahab heard those words, and he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil into his day, but in his son's day will I bring the evil upon this house. Psalms 35, 13, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. It is also used to express concern and facilitate the work of the kingdom of God. In Nehemiah 1, 3 through 4, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned in certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Daniel 9:3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Let's stand here today. There are many areas that we can go, many things that we need in our lives. We need to draw closer to God. We as individuals, we as a church, need God to move in our lives. Amen? We need God more than ever. Maybe we've kind of lost track of the importance of living for God. And it's become just habitual, the routine that we live. But I want to seek the things of God. I want to know the direction of God. I want to see God move in a mighty way. I want to see revival like we've never seen before. And it's only going to come when the saints of God begin to pray and to seek the face of God and begin to fast to draw closer to Him. Amen? To draw closer to Him. I want to love like I've never loved before. I want to have a compassion like I've never had before. Hallelujah. I want to see great things, folks. Hallelujah. We need God in our lives. Hallelujah. We have family members and folks that are dependent on us to draw closer to God, to be that witness. We have co-workers. We have neighbors that need us to shine the light of Jesus Christ to them. You say, well, Pastor, these neighbors, they know, but my family members, they know. They can know more. They can know more. They need to see us more committed than ever. This year, we need to be more committed than ever. And that's what I want to see from each one of us here at Church of Pentecost. I want to see each one of us make a greater commitment this year than we've ever had. I want to see us live for God like we've never lived before. Hallelujah. Do you want that today? Is there anybody here today that wants to be closer to God? Wants to see God move in your life and in your family and in your workplace, in your neighborhood? Come on. Hallelujah. Let's find our place. Let's just come up here for a moment this morning and say, God, help me, Lord, this month. Lord God, to seek your face. God, to draw closer to you. God, help me to fast. Lord, help me to be faithful to the things of God.